From Santa Barbara, California, Timeless Voyager Radio with Bruce Stephen Holmes. Self-development radio for the open mind. Interviews with leading-edge authors and speakers in the fields of environmental issues, alternative healthcare, new psychology, psychic phenomena, UFOs, and extraterrestrial encounters. And now, Bruce Stephen Holmes for Timeless Voyager Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Bruce Stephen Holmes, the Timeless Voyager. My guest today is Kathy Nordland. Kathy is an astrologer, actually a psychic astrologer. Welcome to the show, Kathy.
Glad to be here.
Okay, we decided after talking at great length that rather than do a lot of predictions, which of course are good for certain timeliness, but we thought we would, for a change, talk about astrology. And I think you brought that up because you wanted to hit some real important points, things that have, in a way, not necessarily annoyed you, but in a sense, you felt like you wanted to speak out on. So why don't we start right with it? We first wanted to investigate a question here. Is astrology in any way connected with religion?
It's not really. With a religion, well, anyone who's going to do astrology, they have different religious beliefs. I have my own beliefs. I've talked to other astrologers, and their beliefs are different than mine. It is not a religious cult or a religion in itself. It is not Satanism. A lot of people think it's against Christianity or against that type of religion. It's not, and it's not a devil worship. I don't know really where that idea came up, but I've heard from a lot of Christians when I've talked to them, they go, oh, you do astrology, that's witchcraft or the devil's work. And I'm thinking, I'm not doing anything wrong. It's not
Satanism.
Okay,
I wonder what it would be then. Do you have any ideas of why someone would think that it was the work of the devil at all?
Perhaps because there's predictions, and I know this idea was prevalent years and years ago.
But Jesus predicted.
Yeah, he did. Okay. Well, I'm not Jesus, so people are
In other words, what they're thinking is that...
Maybe it's a blasphemous type of thing to believe in. I don't really understand why people feel that way. Because
the Bible records many accounts of astrological events. As I said before we came on the air, probably the most important event of all was the birth of Jesus, in the sense that we have the Star of Bethlehem and the wise men who were definitely astrologers, and they knew where the event was supposed to occur. It was supposed to occur in Bethlehem at a particular time, so that's why they were going in that direction. And Mary and Joseph knew that the event was going to happen in Bethlehem. That's why they were trying to get there, and that's why they decided to stay in a garage
manger.
A manger, right, garage, because they couldn't find a place. Because the important point here, as is what astrology is about, and this is why I was saying this, is time and locality.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, why don't we talk on that right now? In astrology, you have two very important points here.
Oh, yeah. You have to know, if someone comes to me and wants their chart, I have to know their time of birth and their place of birth.
Now, why is this?
At the moment you're born, the planets will all be in a certain position, and their energy will hit you the moment you come out, and that's the energy that you're born with.
Okay, so we need to come back for a second and look at the planets for a moment. Maybe we can make a picture that people can visualize when they're listening. We're not really talking about something really strange. This is a normal event.
No, the planets have their cycles. The moon has its cycle. The earth has its cycle. And
so this is something we can see.
This is something that exists, that the planets are always in motion. And just as the moon has... prevalence over the tides. Oh, it's a full moon, the tide will be high. When there's a moon eclipse and a sun eclipse and the sun and moon are lined up, people are prepared for high tides. I think last summer on the East Coast, they had a little damage from this because of the gravitational pull. And my view is that all planets have some type of energy besides just the moon and sun.
So is this a snapshot then of the actual configuration of the planets at your birth?
Basically, yeah, exactly.
Is that what this is about?
When you are born, the energy of these planets and their configuration and their aspects to each other, it's kind of like they zap you, or the energy enters into you at the time you're born. And this is a chart that you keep, and you keep these energies with you throughout your life. Now, as the planets continue to move...
Yeah, that's what's going to be the next question.
Yeah, you know, we call them transits. And as they move and set up different aspects to your birth chart, there will be other energies that come out. This is your way of living and learning and going through the experiences of life. It's dealing with these different energies.
Okay. This is Bruce Stephen Holmes, the Timeless Voyager, and I have with me Kathy Nordland, psychic astrologer, and we're actually going to talk a little bit today about astrology, and not so much about predictions, but what astrology is and what astrology is not. You're saying that astrology, in a way, shows each individual's path in finding their own purpose?
I believe it does. That's my own personal belief. Mm-hmm. Now, there might be other astrologers who look at it in a different way. When I look at someone's chart, my purpose is to see where they're going in life, what type of planetary energies are pushing them to what point. When people have problems or they're confused about something, I'll look at their chart and I will see what the problems are, possibly where they're based from.
Let's give some examples.
An example is someone who comes and they've gone to see a psychiatrist for many years and they're still angry inside and they just can't straighten it out. Well, they might have, for example, Pluto in the 12th house. Pluto's a real strong planet, and if it has squares or oppositions to it, it can indicate a very deep inner anger. And in the 12th house, it's a hidden anger. So this person doesn't admit to himself what his anger is about. He keeps it in. He's afraid of it. He doesn't want to see it.
Now, does this mean the person with Pluto in the 12th house is doomed to have anger?
No. The other whole reason for astrology is this is an energy you would have in your chart. Yes, you have anger. You tend to keep it in. But the whole purpose of this is to learn, to grow with it and to understand it and to grow out of that
if that's a problem in your life. The 12th house is what? The house of secrets or the house
secrets,
of...
Secrets, things that are hidden or kept inside.
Okay, so we have the house of secrets, the 12th house. Pluto, which has a certain amount of anger attached to it. Is that what you're saying?
Pluto basically is a life and death planet. It's a very spiritual, very sexual, and very powerful planet. It indicates things that are totally wiped out and then totally replaced. When you have hard transits from Pluto, you might, for example, have been in the fire here last summer, which Pluto was in aspect at that time. And it wiped out things, literally, and it gives people a chance to basically have a new slate and start completely over.
And that's difficult.
All right.
Now, when you put Pluto in the 12th house, a particular aspect has occurred. That's what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to come back to our picture of the person who was born, they've got Pluto, the planet Pluto, somehow ends up in their, natal chart?
Yes, their birth chart or natal chart.
Which is divided up into 12
houses.
Houses,
right.
Okay. And this is actually done, this is actually astronomical as well as astrology. Matter of fact, astronomy came from astrology, didn't it? We understand that physics and mathematics and geometry evidently comes from the study of the planets. Does an astrologer need to be psychic in order to be good?
I don't think so. I've met people who are psychic astrologers, or they're psychic and they're not really astrologers. They'll look in an ephemeris, which shows the planetary motions of your birth date or whatever, and they don't know much about astrology, but they'll say they are psychic and they'll give you a psychic reading that way. With astrology, it's really a study, an in-depth study of how the planets move, what kind of effect the planets and their aspects to each other have on each person's behaviors, whether this is a mental or physical behavior. And if you study astrology, you can sit down and I think you can do a fairly good reading. The one thing I think is necessary with astrology is to be able to sense and feel as well. And maybe this is a psychicness as well as that. Okay, well, basically, again, the natal chart is the energy of where the planets are the moment you're born, the aspects they have to each other. As you look at your natal chart, you can see where the planets are. And it shows your basic personality, the way in which you would do things or think about things. It'll also show the basic energies that might give you obstacles in your life, and also the energies that make things easy for you, or, you know, things that you have at your disposal to overcome the obstacles in your life.
So we all have obstacles, and we all have, in a sense, a way to get over the obstacles.
Sure, and then that's the learning experience.
Okay.
And in my mind, that's what life is, and that's what astrology is people come to you with a problem or a question, and you can see, yes, this might be a problem, but here is the way in which you would get out of it. This is how you use the energy to a creative purpose rather than a destructive purpose. Now, that's why astrology is not fated. The person can use the energy to do either thing. They can be creative or they can be destructive mm-hmm. with it. The
so
choice
like
is up
map.
To them.
It's like yeah. a map, right?
It's a map, and you
if
choose
you
which road
from,
you want.
From Denver to New York, you have many, many ways to go. Some are easier and some take a lot of work. And and so you make your decision. But by having that map, you know where your direction is.
It gives you a direction or an idea. It clears things up a little bit in people's minds sometimes when they look at a chart and they say, oh, well, I can do this or I could do that, or and gives them something to think about and work on it, which I think is very helpful to people. And a little bit the way I look at astrology is a little bit like psychology, which actually I've talked to friends who are psychologists, and they said, this is very much the same. And I said, yeah, basically it's helping people understand themselves and what they're doing in their life.
Let's talk specifically about a natal chart. What are the parts of a natal chart that we need to know about?
Oh, well, you would have the rising sign would be your personality, for example,
okay.
your outward personality. And, of course, most people know of the sun sign. That is the month you're born.
Right.
If you're born between a certain time in July, you would be a Cancer. And so forth and so on. Those two signs are very important. And also, the position of the moon is very important as far as personality and mentality goes.
We have those three aspects in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
They're not probably aspects as far as...
Positions of the planets.
Right.
The aspects are when planets form certain degrees, creating an aspect to other planets or to the rising sign. But to those, the sun, rising sign, and moon are basically the basic personality. Of course, the other planets are also involved in it. It is not strictly
well,
a sun
sign. Now,
before
we do it, let's do some examples here. What is a good example of the way someone might look? Let's make up one.
Okay, looks are real difficult, but one very
blatant
one.
Well, I mean look meaning...
Physically?
No. I mean astrologically.
Astrologically.
For example, let's give an example. A person is a Taurus sun sign.
Okay.
So we think one thing, and yet they have a rising sign. Why don't you give an example
okay,
of a
so
rising sign?
If the person says, oh, you're a Taurus, you might think, okay, he's stubborn and kind of slow and bullheaded, but maybe the person has a Sagittarius rising sign. So he's very outgoing and open, and he's... You know, probably has his stubborn moments too, but he would be willing to listen to other things and probably a lot of fun to be with.
And then let's throw a moon in there.
Let's throw in, a Capricorn moon. This is someone who's very hardworking and studious, very cautious about extending his emotions or his feelings.
All right, now the individual then has these three parts to their being.
And those are just three.
Okay, so it's just a good example then.
Yeah.
So at any time during the day, they can be one, stubborn, two, open, or three determined and highly organized.
Mm-hmm. Sure, they would have all these personality traits.
And these are operating sometimes at the same time, but many times at different times.
Yeah, which is what causes a lot of confusion because, any person feels different aspects of themselves.
Let's do an example. What kind of a job would this person do really well?
Well,
and I realize these are not,
Well, okay, offhand, I would say this person would probably be just with those aspects in mind. I mean, they're
right,
depend on the
that.
House position and everything else, but basically would probably be a very good executive. They'd be hardworking. They'd be able to get along with people.
Because of the Sagittarius.
Yeah, but being a Taurus, they could also be stubborn and stick-to-itiveness and not have someone push them over or, where they would need to keep control of a company, let's say.
But they would tend to be picky, right, because of the Capricorn and Taurus.
Particular, things have to be... They want to make sure everything's done in a practical manner because of the Capricorn moon.
Uh-huh.
And with Taurus, they want things to be done in an acceptable manner.
Now, would they be a procrastinator, though? because they've got that Sagittarius.
Yeah, well, they might at times take
mm-hmm.
a break, which would be
talker,
a good balance, actually.
But a big talker, that'd be a real talker, somebody
sure.
that could really talk a story.
He'd probably be they'd be a great con man, depending on other aspects in the chart. They could also be, very good at business and do very well, you see. Again.
So just with those three things, for example, you can see how an astrologer, if a person doesn't know anything about astrology, that can seem unnerving.
Mm-hmm.
Just those three.
Oh, sure.
To have somebody say this, and this about you just by knowing those three aspects.
Yeah, and it's not, there's a lot of people I know, two examples, they're both Aries. They have a Libra rising sign and a very strong Pisces in their chart. So they don't act like an Aries, which would be kind of an angry, aggressive mm-hmm. Person. And they act more docile and calm like a Pisces person. And so you can't always pick people that way. They may not always look or act as their sun sign is. So
all right, so let's talk a little bit more about the chart. What are other things that are very important now?
Well, those three are the most important as far as personality. The next one would be Mercury, which would indicate your communication level, your intellectual levels. And, of course, it would go by the third house, which is represented by Mercury. And
now, I think the problem that a lot of people are going to have with astrology is that astrology is... in a sense, saying or at least implying that who you are is not determined by who you think you are, but by what you were
by the stars
given as at your birth. And people like to feel that they themselves determine their lives.
I think that's a common misconception is that astrology is. This is your life. I mean, you might as well just forget trying to be better or whatever because you're stuck with it, and that's simply not true. I feel that what astrology does, again, is shows the energies in your chart in your favor or that go against you. And it shows you the opportunities you have in life to learn and to grow and to become a better person or successful person or whatever it is your goals are in life. And that's the purpose I think astrology basically has.
So a smart person would look for... the positive, strong attributes that are in their chart, and they would learn to overcome the negative attributes that they have in their chart. Is that what this? That would be the use of astrology in a natal chart.
Basically, also there's a lot of what we would call a hard aspect, or maybe an aggressive aspect that, in itself. You would think is a bad aspect.
Let's have an example of a hard aspect.
Mars square Pluto. Somebody
square
who,
meaning?
It's a 90 degree angle. It means...
So in the picture, there was 90 degree aspect or mm-hmm. a 90 degree angle between Mars someplace
and Pluto,
somewhere. Okay.
It'd be three houses different, the 30 degrees being in each house. This is someone who is manipulative and has a temper. And depending on the other aspects in the chart, he can be manipulative and angry and vengeful to people.
Or she.
He or she, yes, excuse me.
Let's get the she part.
Or depending on other aspects, they can use this. They might have the rest of their chart might be very soft and someone who maybe doesn't have much ambition. So to have a Mars square Pluto would give them more determination and real strength. So it depends on the entire chart. So that might be really a good thing to have in certain charts. Whereas in other charts, it might be something you might try to overcome. You'd want to take that energy and put it into something creative, again, rather than destructive. It depends totally on the entire chart.
So at this point, the understanding is that when we are investigating the human being through astrology, this is a fairly exact... Now, I don't know if I should use the word science, although we could call it science.
It has been called a science, and basically that's what it is, because it is a study and an examination of the laws of astrology and of facts, you know, of the... where the planets are, their exact degrees, and their effect upon each individual. And so it is very much a study when you look at it in that way, and a science.
All right, now let's see. So the only thing that we're looking at then that would take this out of the realm of science would be any disagreement people have about what the effects are of the supposed planetary aspects. So that would be the only place where astrology would be questionable, let's say for someone who was listening.
For someone who's scientifically minded, like my father, for example, who thinks I'm crazy, mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense. You can't put it under a microscope and look at it. How can the planet Jupiter have any possible effect on one little tiny person on the planet Earth when it's so far away? He does not believe that planets have any effect on individuals or on this Earth at all. And that's his belief, and that's fine.
All right. I'll tell you what we're going to do. I've got a couple charts. Let's read a chart, and let's do an entire chart here in the next few moments here. Joining me today is Kathy Nordland, psychic astrologer, and we are discussing astrology, and as a matter of fact, I have given her four charts without her being able to check them out. And
surprise attack.
Big surprise. We're going to investigate four people. Actually, it's a family. Mm-hmm. And a husband, a wife, a son, and a daughter. And why don't you tell us a little bit about these people, and we're going to talk about the charts, and this will give people an indication as to what a psychic astrologer or an astrologer, for example, would be looking for.
Okay, basically, this is the daughter, and one of the things I look out for first is any problems they might have that they need to overcome. And this girl has two planets in the 12th house. She has Pluto conjunct moon in Scorpio in the 12th house. So this is someone with a very strong, powerful emotions, the power being Pluto and the moon being the emotions. And being in Scorpio, this is someone who can be vengeful. She wants to do it her way. So emotionally, she might have difficulty not only getting along with others because of her anger, these are very deep emotions of anger and power that she would have, but also because of the 12th house connotation, she may not be able to express them to herself, or she might think, this is not a good way to be, so I'll pretend that I don't have these feelings. But she needs to recognize these feelings, and because they are part of her. And she needs to bring them out in the open, not in a angry or destructive way, but to do it in a way that will be constructive and that she can deal with it. Okay, now that sounds like a bad aspect. This girl also has Venus in trine to this Pluto-Moon conjunction. A trine is 120 degrees. And is a good aspect, as it were, with Venus to this. This is someone who is very loving, might be very sexual. This is a good way to expend this energy that she has in a sexual way, in a loving way, as she gets older.
Right.
This is a young girl, by the way. She also has a good aspect, a sextile, between this moon and Pluto conjunction to Neptune. This is someone who has very high ideals. She might get confused at times, but she's very, very sensitive. And she actually has a lot to offer. So I would say the anger and the deep emotions that this little girl has can be put to good use through loving in an affectionate way. Also, the Neptune I spoke of is in the second house. This is her house of values. She might be a very religious person with high ideals. It's also in Capricorn. So her ideals have to be very practical. She can put her belief system into good use for herself and put her energy into high ideals that she naturally has. And this is one way to be constructive with an energy that is very difficult to deal with. Now that's the little girl's chart. The mother's chart. Okay, the mother's chart, as I look at her 12th house, Gemini, she has Uranus in the 12th house, which would indicate in growing up, perhaps her creativity was stifled somehow. Perhaps she was told to be seen and not heard, and not to speak. This is a very bright person. Having Uranus and Gemini offhand would be somebody with a lot of ideas, a lot of intellectual ideas. To have it in the 12th house, she keeps them to herself. They're not things that she would normally do with. And again, being 12th house, this would be something in her upbringing that caused her to keep this creativity and her communication skills inward.
This 12th house is, we all have a 12th house. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's one of the more important houses that we should be looking at every once in a while.
It's interesting, because she has other houses here. The reason right. I go to 12th house at this point, it's a quick thing, but I can see that the 12th house might be a problem that someone keeps inward that needs
right.
to come out.
Okay.
The energy needs to come out.
So we're looking at the 12th house because this is where we're seeing things that are hidden that need to be to be brought out for overall what, psychological help? Health, psychological health.
Yeah, basically. And okay. and if you can get past the 12th house, things very much a part of you, and work with it, you can go on with life and become a better person
right.
instead of holding back a lot of talents. Now, this person has a lot of ingenuity and a lot of intellectual talent. And now, I can see she has a sextile to Saturn, the sextile to Uranus from Saturn. This is someone who has had to work hard. She has a belief system of working very hard and doing for herself. And so she can take this energy and in her own work and her self-value, which I think is very high, she can use her communication skills and her intellectual skills through hard work. And because hard work is a, it's a high value to her.
So
and
a person like
good
this,
at it.
A person like this, prefers then to be rewarded for their work than to just have financial reward.
Oh, yes.
In other words, winning the lottery would not be as important to this person as having gotten the same amount of money through work.
Well, winning the lottery would be fun, but it wouldn't add to her self-esteem.
Right.
You know, this is someone
so
who needs to be
recognized.
Being
rewarded for the work, right, is what is important.
Again, let me say the second house, Saturn, is in Leo. This is someone who has a lot of pride. And in sextile to the Uranus, she has pride in her work and in her intellectual ability and in her abilities to communicate. And she does so through hard work, through her own work. It's not something someone hands to her. And again, this is the way to get that energy out that otherwise she might have held in. Let's see what else we can have here. This person also has the sun in opposition to the Uranus in the 12th house. And the sun is in Sagittarius. So this is a very outgoing person, too. This also helps her in bringing that intellectual Uranus out, to have the Sagittarian sun. The sun opposing Uranus, excuse me, would indicate a lot of pretty high-powered ideas. She could be a very good business executive, this person. and she has held herself back or has allowed herself to be held back in the past. But luckily she has three Sagittarian planets, and this is someone who is a go-getter and who has a sense of worth. But she has had trouble in the past simply because of the opposition. I would say offhand, her father maybe stifled her creativity in some way or another. Anyway, so that's someone that, you know, has a good outlet for her intellectual abilities that might otherwise, you know, she might have them and feel like an intellectual, but she may not do anything with it. This person can do something with it. Excuse me. The father, and again, we'll look at the 12th house briefly, has Sagittarius in the 12th house with Venus there. And it is opposing Uranus in the 6th house in Gemini. Having Venus in the 12th house usually indicates growing up, you weren't given the proper love or nurturing that that you needed. This doesn't mean that your parents are unloving or horrible, but for that particular person, a 12th house Venus, he didn't actually get the type of nurturing that his energies required. It's a Sagittarian Venus, so it's a very outgoing type of affection and emotion that he would have for others, but he might keep it hidden or to himself. He'd be very cautious about extending his emotions to others. This Venus is in sextile to Neptune. So you might think this would be a person who is going to hold back all of his emotions and be cold. But to have a sextile to Neptune, this is a very romantic person, even though he may not think so. And he has high ideals about how he expresses his love and who he expresses it to.
We talked quite a bit about astrology. We have been looking at some particular charts. Let's finish up the charts of this particular family, and then we'll talk about an overall understanding about this stuff. We were talking about the husband.
Mm-hmm. The other aspect is a trine that he has to the 12th house Venus from 8th house Pluto in Leo. So now this in itself... this is someone who has a lot of love to give, very powerful, very deep love to give. Pluto being something that is powerful and deep and trining that Venus. So you see this person has a lot of love in him, but he might hold it back for not special occasions, but special people, things that he feels are worthy. Again, with his high ideals. So there's the 12th house Venus that has a lot of very good outlets and very creative outlets and also very nurturing outlets to the others in his family or people who he takes into his heart. The sun, and I'll just go through one aspect here that's a very good example of...
This is the sun, S-O-N.
Yes.
We've talked about the S-U-N sun, the yes. S-O-N sun.
Thanks for the distinction. He has a 12th house Neptune, and it is opposing his 6th house Mars. A lot of times with a 12th house Neptune, this might be someone who would be prone to taking drugs or alcohol or having a lot of confusion in his life due to those types of energies. However, the other way in which this can be used is this also could be someone who is totally... against drugs or alcohol or any type of thing that would be harmful to his system and for his clarity in life.
So this is a person who can flip-flop. Am I getting that
could.
Right?
They could. They could also learn. They might, let's say, 1 year, they might go into drugs or alcohol and then come out of it having learned from the experience and then never want that again in their life or realize, you know, what the deal was. Or it could be someone who never tries... anything like this at all. It also could be someone who, you know, has a problem and is debilitated with drugs. Because the Mars is in Gemini, this is someone who is going to be intellectual about this. And he would learn from it if he did get involved in any type of drugs. Also, I think this is someone who would probably pull away from anything like that if he did get involved with it at all. Again, a 12th house Neptune is a very psychic, very spiritual type of person in itself. And that Neptune is in Sagittarius, so this is a very benevolent type of person, very giving to others. And I would say offhand, this person probably uses the energy of Neptune in the 12th house opposed Mars as going against drugs or alcohol, and putting that type of energy into a spirituality. Hmm. Mars being the activity, an intellectual activity, and the 12th house, Neptune being in Sagittarius of high ideals and high mind. I think this is how this person would use this type of energy. Again, others might take it and use it to be involved in drugs or alcohol.
So now, I guess the purpose of all of this, and for those of you who are listening, I'm speaking today with Kathy Nordland, psychic astrologer. And what we're seeing here is that without knowing or seeing any of these people, you are able to determine all this information from snapshots of planetary positions at their time of their particular births.
Yeah.
And so I think we have a rather interesting example of astrology at work, and to see the different energies that are being created through the aspects that occur during the births. The questions that would come up certainly are, are all these people really like this?
Yes.
And of course, those are personal experiences that people have when they have an astrologer. Let me ask you some questions. Since what you've done here is kind of go through problems, goals, and limitations, mm-hmm. et cetera, that people have, it is sort of like a psychology of its own.
It is. Because when I sit down with a person, a lot of times people will come to me with a question or problem. Let's say an example, I'm not getting along well at work. When am I going to get a raise or get a new job? And I could look at it and see basically what's holding them back. Perhaps it could be their superior. It could be they themselves that are holding themselves back. And they need to know that.
So astrology, the way you practice it at least, is not some way of forecasting the future events, although there are future events that we can look here. We can look at trends, for instance.
Yes.
We're seeing trends right now. We're seeing trends in all four people in that particular family mm-hmm. that could either be realized or not realized, depending on what their...
What they choose to do with the energy.
Their choices, right. Their choices.
Now, when the planets transit and go past, you know, the other natal house planets, this is when you're given an opportunity. A lot of times these energies come into focus one way or the other. And whether it's a good experience or bad that the person goes through, it is a chance to focus on those energies and to realize them. And we deal with them in the way that you see best. And again, it can be destructive or it can be creative.
Now, as an astrologer, what would the person who is interested in learning more about astrology do? What would they do at this point? How would they find an astrologer? Do astrologers advertise?
Some do. Some do not. A lot of times you'll find them through word of mouth. Any metaphysical bookstores would probably have flyers on certain astrologers.
Now, what kind of a chart does a person absolutely have to have?
Have to have?
I mean, in other words, to start, you don't just go out and get a transit. I mean, to have a transit, you'd have to have a natal chart.
You have to have, the natal chart is the one thing you do have
so
to have.
So that's the birth chart.
Chart at birth, yes.
Now, what you just did now was based on birth charts, wasn't it?
These are birth charts, yes. And I strictly went by the natal chart. I did not consider a transit to any of those planets. It's strictly looking at the birth chart to see certain personality characteristics.
So the meanings then that are derived from this information, this was not made up by you. This is information that has been written and recorded for thousands and thousands of years. Is that correct?
Yes, it's things that I have studied. I didn't make it up. I don't know if anyone did make it up or decided to sit down. I don't think that's how it started.
Well, I mean, for example, we know that psychology is made up through the observation of particular effects on people. Would you say that astrology is the same way?
I would say astrology is the same thing. only it includes the observation of the planets and how they have an effect on people.
So this is an observation of planetary effects over thousands of years.
Mm-hmm, basically.
And psychology is what the observation over, 50 or 60 years, I guess.
So it's the same type. I think astrology, if somebody's in need of psychological help, you know, go to a psychiatrist. But I think a lot of times, if you have a good astrologer or someone who has your best interests at heart, I think they can point out certain things to you that, you know, the person they themselves would know. When you talk to someone, they know if you're telling the truth or not, and you can bring out things that maybe they didn't want to admit to themselves. Or other ideas that, oh, yeah, I thought of that, I should do that.
Now, what does a natal chart cost? I realize we're in Southern California. What do you think is a good charge for...
Well, everyone has a different price, I guess. I charge $100 a chart. I've heard that Nancy Reagan's astrologer charges $2,000 for a reading. So it just depends on where you go, I guess.
And are you looking then for a psychic astrologer, let's say, versus an ordinary astrologer? Or is there such a thing? I guess there are different levels, just like there are different levels in everything.
Everybody's different. Every astrologer is different. Again, each astrologer would have his or her own beliefs. You might want a psychic astrologer for certain reasons. You might not. You might want someone who's just going to give you the facts, you know, this planet is here and doing this to that planet, therefore you're going to make money this year. Maybe that's all they want to know about.
All right. Well, Kathy, we ran out of time.
Okay. Once again.
You're agreeable. This is Bruce Stephen Holmes, the Timeless Voyager. Kathy Northland, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
I look forward to your returning again. And for those of you who are listening, I certainly hope that all of you will continue tuning into the Timeless Voyager, and I hope that your personal voyage through life towards the development of your highest potential is a joyous and successful one.